Midweek fixtures return, so FPL Pod does too. We reflect on game week 27 and debate whether it's time to sell Morgan Rodgers. We ponder over a Liverpool triple up, and we're sweating over a fair few injuries ahead of game week 28. I tell you what, sometimes I dread these Monday morning records when we're still kind of seething from the game week. But when you've had a better game week, it makes getting up bright and early to talk about FPL a lot easier. Guys, I don't have good weeks very often, but if I'm going to, I'm glad it's one where we are speaking the next morning. Welcome back. Kelly here. Sam and Jules also here. I have for once had a good game week, and it felt like it was a better game week in general. This is your first reminder, by the way, Tuesday night deadline. That's why we're here. 6 o'clock, 90 minutes before the first fixture. Well, there's three actually early kickoffs on Tuesday get underway. So yeah, there's your first reminder. We're going to dive into everything from the weekend and look ahead to those fixtures for you over the next 35 minutes or so. But yeah, I'm quite happy with my game week. What about you, Jules?
Well, 64 points in the end is not too bad. It's above average, but it feels like this was the weekend where you could rack up a lot of points, and I missed out really. And it feels like a missed opportunity really, which is a bit annoying. I was saved by Bruno as captain. We talked about it on the last show. I felt it was a really strong captain. The first half hour, I really cursed him and cursed having given him the armband, because United was so bad and Palace was so dominant and so easy, really. After that, it got better with the penalty, obviously, and the bonus points, the assist for the Šeško goal, all of that. So it was good. The problem is, Haaland, obviously, you know, surprisingly not involved. I had Enzo because, as you know me, I don't really care who's on the bench, who's the first sub, second sub, third sub. I didn't even know there was first, second, and third. So I had, I leave a few points with Senesi on the bench instead of Enzo, but overall, 64 points, I take it, but it feels really like for everybody who plays the game seriously, it could have easily been 75 plus, really.
Yeah, it was above average, wasn't it, with 53, the average. It's just rare that you have a significantly worse game week than me, to be honest, Jules. It's just about the luck, though, isn't it? I'm going to mention.
I think you might catch him now.
Whoa!
She might catch you.
Yeah,
she might. Let's give the listeners and the viewers some context then. So I got 90 points this game week. Jules got 64, as he said. Sam got 72. So we kind of hit all brackets. We kind of went from, we're all above average, but we went from mid 60s to 90. Jules is on 1621. I'm on 1588. So there is still quite a, there's a 33 point gap between the two of us. But I mean, I made up that almost this week.
This week.
Didn't I?
Yeah, exactly.
And then Sam is on 1541. So you're now 37 points behind me. So that's completely catchable. So it's all quite competitive. I talk a lot about the FPL Pod mini league, and our mini league, it's very competitive as well, with kind of 30 or 40 points between all of us. So yeah, Sam, talk me through your 72 points, because you went quite bold with the captain, I thought.
Yeah, tell us about your luck as well from the
bench.
Luck.
Yeah? Oh yeah, okay. We'll talk about that in a minute. I was on Bruno a week, and then on Friday night, I decided that I would try and roll the dice and just see if I could move the dial a little bit, because sometimes when you're chasing, you just have to take a bit of an educated gamble. And I kind of thought, well, Bruno, obviously in itself will be a differential captain over Haaland, but can I just pick somebody that maybe even has more potential? So I went with Thiago in the end. And on Saturday, so Kels, on Saturday afternoon, I was 9 points behind you, because most of your points came on that, Sunday. Yeah. And so I was like, right, this has gone well. And I knew that it was going to take a hit on Sunday, because I only have three players to play, whereas everyone else had a lot more. And you obviously had your captain to come. But generally, it was a good week. Yes, I did have some luck off my bench, but Jules, that is why good FPL managers put their bench
absolutely
in the correct order.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, you should be sacked from this podcast for not ordering your bench.
I don't even look at the bench, to be fair, usually. So
you're digging a deeper hole.
It's getting worse. Okay. So I had Gaehi come off the bench. I actually thought that Leeds would score. And to be honest, in the first sort of 25 minutes of the game, I had
DCL.
DCL
is my first sub. Imagine how good my game week could have been if he'd have kind of, particularly those early chances. Jeez.
Yeah. Right. And so actually, I thought that they would score. And to be honest, watching that game, I was like, I think I've called that right. And then actually in the end, they kept the clean sheet. And by the end of it, when Nico O'Reilly was subbed off, I was sitting there thinking, if this clean sheet goes now, as a Gaehi owner, I will be fuming, because obviously O'Reilly's had locked in already. But yeah, a decent week, a really nice big green arrow again. So it's moved me in the right direction. I most enjoyed the Szoboszlai to Virgil goal. When that happens and you get the goal and the assist, it's like, oh, that's the stuff of FPL dreams. So I very much enjoyed that one. Yeah, so a really good week, thankfully, because the rest of the football season isn't going so well, but at least FPL is starting to improve. So yeah, moving in the right direction at least.
Yeah, I think the difference really, Sam, between yours and my team, because obviously you had Thiago,
it's the captain.
Was, yeah, but also well, Ekitike.
Yeah.
And Wilson, yeah. You haven't got Wilson, have you?
Really good pick.
I don't have Wilson. So he
got 27 points
hurt.
From Ekitike and Wilson. So that was a big portion of my points, a third of my points.
The reality for my team is that had I captained, because obviously Thiago ended up on 6, Bruno ended up on 13. So had I left the armband with Bruno, the jump would have been massive and I'd have been like, I haven't done the maths on that, but I was significantly better off than I was. So that would have moved me closer. Because actually, whilst I didn't have Ekitike, I did get the points out of Virgil and Szoboszlai in that game. So that kind of covered for some of that. Harry Wilson, yes, I guess, that hurt for sure. And still not convinced that the first one should have stood, but there we are. That's maybe just my Spurs.
Don't do a drills.
It's maybe my Spurs bitterness coming in.
What happened? I didn't see.
Let's not go there now. We'll talk about that when we get to the game, shall we? But yeah, so those two hurt, but they didn't hurt that much because actually their ownership isn't that huge. So in terms of the overall game, it benefited you massively because they almost act as a sort of borderline differential for you because they're only in the like 20% ownerships. So that's great. But it doesn't have a catastrophic impact on rank. Yeah. And the rest of my team perform well. Like, he even got the upside of Senesi over Hill this week with the DEFCON points, which, for a change, that felt like a bit of a win having done that. Good defensive points, actually, all round. So, yeah, it was frustrating not to have those two. But equally, the rest of my team performed well enough that they kind of covered it out. I can't seem to get the captaincy right. And maybe I overthought it this week with the trying to do something a little bit different because I thought that actually maybe that's the best way to try and catch you is to look at doing something different to what you're going to do. And having done this pod together on Thursday, I was pretty sure you were going to captain Bruno. Yeah. So I thought, well, why don't
our
you
teams
just...
teams are different enough now though that I think all it takes is... Do you know what I mean?
They
whereas one time we had a very similar team, whereas I think we've gone a bit different, so it makes it a bit more fun.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and that probably will end when you wildcard, I guess. They'll look closer to each other. So that gives me, what, 3 weeks to try and make the most of the differences that we have.
Right, I'm just going to block all of your moves. Everything you do, I'm going to copy. No, I'm joking, because actually my target would be great to finish above you, but my target, like this week, and I'm saying this to the listeners, by the way, that have had a really disappointing season, because I think, I mean, Jules hasn't had a particularly disappointing season, but myself and Sam definitely have. Last week alone, I went up from, I think I was about 1,380,000 in the world, and I'm now about 892k in the world. So I went up, I think it was about nearly 500k in rank. Yeah. And that's a 35% rank change. So it does just show that even if you've had an awful season, just one game week can really change how you feel about the whole campaign. Yeah. Just a couple of players difference can make a really big difference. By the way, Sam, someone called Bolton on X messaged me and said, Sam jinxed Hill for all of us. Made me laugh.
But isn't that what we said on Thursday? We said it when...
That's what I'm going to do now with your players every week, Kels. I'm just going to pick one of them and jinx them with differential of the week.
And gradually go through my whole team until we're all absolutely useless.
They're all ruined,
okay, we better get on because, of course, these Monday pods are very, very busy indeed. Just to check in then on the FPL pod mini league, Henry captained Ekitike and brought in Wilson. Like-minded top managers have those players. He got 91 points, so he just outscored me. I'm joking. Kim Lamberts has now overtaken Ola Wetabi into second. Captain Bruno transferred in Wilson, but for Enzo, so that was a good move with 83 points overall. Ola Wetabi got 70 points. He didn't make a transfer and now has 5 free transfers heading into game week 29, so a mini wildcard on his hands there. Matt Marshall has gone from 10th to 4th. He got 94 points this week. And Pedro Meschini climbed from 60th to 6th with 95 points. Both Matt and Pedro, like Henry, also captained Ekitike. Reminder then, your code is XY6XPL. Let's crack on then with our off-the-bench style roundup of game week 28. We'll start with Friday night football. Finished Wolves 2, Villa 0. That was a huge result. In terms of FPL though, the main interest I think in that game for us was Morgan Rodgers. Almost 730,000 managers sold him since game week 25. I have been toying with it every single week. I toyed with it last week as well, and I'm getting closer week on week out. Third successive blank. I mean, Sam, you're going to tell me he got a match high 4 shots, but does it matter when he's not returning?
No, honestly, my rage at Morgan Rodgers on Friday night, I can't tell you how upset I was with him, because the fixtures have been so nice on paper over the last few weeks, and it's been impossible to sell him, despite the fact that the performances haven't really been there. Roll into this game on Friday evening, and I was like, right, okay, it's Wolves, it's a derby. Surely Aston Villa and therefore Morgan Rodgers turn up for this game, so I'm going to hold him. But that's his eighth blank in 11 matches now, despite the fact that he had four shots. But the problem is that he's having these shots, and no player in his in the midfield has produced more shots since game week 18 than he has, but the quality's just not there. So he's had 32 attempts on goal, and just one of them has been classified as a big chance. So you're not realistically going to get many returns out of shots that are either off target or not good quality ones. When you look at his XG, so his expected goals per shot that he's taking over that period, is 0.07. So he's not expected to score these chances that he's having. And that is a massive issue, because it's obviously for us in FPL, you need those numbers to be high. You want to see high levels of expected goals, because that means that they're more likely to convert into actual points in our FPL team. The positive thing for us, Kels, is that the fixtures are about to swing for the worse. So now it's an easier sell. Like, we can
right,
now
you say
sell
that.
Him.
You say that, but his fixtures, the next two are horrible. Chelsea at home, Manchester United away, because I've looked at this a lot. Then from 31, and we're all a bit obsessed with 31, aren't we? They've got West Ham at home, Forest away, Sunderland at home, Fulham away, Tottenham at home, Burnley away. So actually, I don't know. There's a couple of bad ones, so we'll sell. And I maybe need to stop being so obsessed with 31, but after that, they're not that bad. But then if he's not on form, what's the point?
I don't think it makes a difference anyway. They're bad against good team. They're bad against bad team. I think they got quite lucky to be as high in the table as they were, because all the data, all the stats were really poor. I mean, the way they've overperformed the XG is ridiculous. I mean, the XG that they have compared to their position in the league is ridiculous. That's what I meant. Because they just don't create. They're not good collectively, but they've never been this season. And yet, at times, Rodgers or Buendia saved them. But now it doesn't work like this anymore. And that's why it has to go, regardless of who they face, I think.
So you're going to get rid?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, Sam, yourself?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing to caveat this with, of course, is that we're all in a position where there's a lot of injuries going into this week. The Harry Wilson went off with an ankle problem. Nico O'Reilly went off with an ankle problem. Declan Rice went off. Haaland didn't play at all. So managers might very easily find themselves with all four of them in their teams this week. And then you've got to consider, well, Morgan Rodgers, despite not being great, is fit and can play. So no issues in your team. He's an easy sell.
I'm in the situation though where I've got, of those players you mentioned, I've got Harry Wilson and Erling Haaland. I mean, we'll wait to hear updates on both of them, particularly Erling Haaland, because I'd be less inclined to sell him. But I don't really want to sell Harry Wilson because I've got money in him. As it stands with my team set, which I do as soon as the deadline passes, I had Morgan Rodgers on my bench. I am more inclined to sell Morgan Rodgers on my bench than Harry Wilson in my team at the moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I would do the same as well. So, but I think you can, depending upon where people lie, you can't carry four injuries. So if you've got all of them, or you've still got a Dorgu or a Gio or, you know, one of these players that's been injured and isn't playing or just isn't playing anymore, you just have to consider that. But if you are in a place where you can sell Morgan Rodgers, then you should sell Morgan Rodgers, because it's just not there. And it's not just that he's not performing and he's not having big shots and big chances and he's not doing this stuff. Villa generally aren't doing it. There's five goals in the last eight Premier League matches now. They're very slow. They've become quite predictable in their play. But yeah, they just don't look great. And they're being chased down rapidly for the top four now. So I think for me, they're an easy sell. Any Aston Villa asset that you have is an easy sell, to be honest, but especially Rodgers.
Where do you go from there, Jules? What's your plan with Morgan Rodgers? Where would you go?
I think Wilson will play, probably him. I just think he's got the momentum again. And as we saw earlier in the season, he's such a streaky player, isn't he? He's capable of returning for 7-8 games in a row. So I think I'd probably go there. You save a bit of money as well.
Are you not worried about the injury?
I don't think he didn't look like a bad injury anyway. And I think they need him, but he's their best player. So unless he really cannot walk and the ankle has swollen massively, you know, I think you play him. It's a massive period for Fulham, because they're doing well and they can probably qualify for Europe if they get a bit lucky. And I don't think you can play without him. He's been so influential. So I think he will play. And that is not a big injury. And also the ownership is quite big now again. So every time he scores, like this weekend when I didn't have him, it hurts you massively. Mm.
Sam, quick day, who would you go to from Morgan Rogers? Sam?
Yeah, well, my plan was to do Rice to Rogers this week, but now I'll potentially do...
Not Rice to Rogers.
Rice to Wilson.
Now you want two Rogers in your team, do you?
No, definitely not. Now I might do... I might do Rogers to Wilson instead, but again, I'm just going to wait for team news before I decide, because I think there are other options that you can go to, and we'll talk about some of them as we go through. But Wilson does feel like the best cheap midfielder option, and it frees up some money as well, which is always handy because you can then reinvest that elsewhere.
A word on Jose Sarr, because at a time where it just feels like goalkeepers, well, maybe it's because I've got Robert Sanchez, aren't keeping clean sheets at the moment. Over the last three game weeks, he's totaled 23 points with two clean sheets. Is he now an option for us in goal, Jules?
I would say yes, if they were not facing Liverpool, for example, in the next game. And it's just that I think it was too comfortable for them on Friday night against Villa, and you didn't expect it that way. So whoever started him this weekend, great for you. It was an outstanding pick, really. Going forward, I'm not sure. I think they will concede pretty much in every game going forward anyway. So he makes a lot of saves. He's a good goalkeeper. They're doing a little bit better. They certainly would be happier with a bit of momentum for the last nine games of the season. But they still will have difficult games. Don't forget, they also blank, obviously, in 31. So... for all those reasons, I'm not sure I would be investing in him if I didn't have him already.
Okay, moving on then. Bournemouth won, Sunderland won. Tavernier, and there was a lot of debate, I felt like, when people were looking at whether you went Rayan or Tavernier, if you wanted a slight differential in midfield. Well, Tavernier had four shots, which was a match high, an assist. Of course, he was returning to the starting 11. He has been out injury. He's got set piece and penalty. He's on penalties as well. Home fixture against Brentford and then a trip to Burnley. All the signs, Sam, are pointing to us getting overexcited about him and then in blanking.
Typical.
Yeah, it would be typical, wouldn't it? Yeah, this game was really frustrating for me as a Roos and Senesi owner. I was really hoping for a 0-0 draw. And of course, it finished in a 1-1 draw, which was not ideal. But yeah, he looks like a great option. And last week, I really seriously considered doing Rayan in. And I was really unsure about what impact it might have on Bournemouth having him come back from injury, because at that point it's like, well, who's going to drop out of the starting 11? How do they shuffle the pack to fit him in? Because I was expecting him to start. Now I think we kind of saw in this one, it was Evan Nilsson that stayed on the bench. Krupe played up top in the traditional striker role. It didn't really go that well for him, did it? And it was one of those where he's really, really good with his shots. They're normally on target. This time around, he had two attempts. Both of them went off target. Iraola brings on Evan Nilsson at half time. And it makes a big difference to the game. It puts Creepy back in the 10. Evan Nilsson then goes obviously on to score their goal. At the end of the game, he was talking about how he was much better. So don't think it bodes well for Creepy. I'm still not sure I'm any clearer on which one of the midfielders I actually want, though, because I still think Rayan looks like a fantastic pick. And that's kind of the problem, is that going into the next couple of weeks, there's certain teams that I feel like I want to invest in more heavily than I am. But I still can't quite decide which of the midfielders at Bournemouth I think is the better option. And with Evan Nilsson picking up what looked like a dead leg, maybe he doesn't start again in midweek. We'll have to see how that one goes. It was a performance from Bournemouth where maybe they were a little bit unlucky not to score again as well, to be honest.
Jules, where do you stand on the Bournemouth attack midfield conundrum?
Yeah, I think it's quite an interesting one, because there's clearly different dynamics going there. We say Krupe is so good value for money. But then if he doesn't return, he might be cheap. It's not good for us anyway. So Tavernier could be an option. You know, I thought Brooks could do well, but then in that 10 role, and then he came off at halftime because he was not very good at all in that first half. I thought he lost the ball a lot. So it's you go back there. I would not invest in the attacking players, but maybe Sam is right. Maybe Rayan or Tavernier, or even Evan Nilsson, if he can play and if he's fit again, because he looked sharp, to be fair, when he came on. Maybe he's still a decent option.
Just a word on Mayenda as well. First start since game week 23. Scored. We'll probably start again versus Leeds, won't he, Sam, because Bobby's injured. What are you thinking about Sunderland in general and in particular his kind of options in terms of FPL?
Yeah, it's Sunderland are really interesting because they had such a brilliant start to the season, especially at home. They were looking, you know, incredibly good. But over the last few weeks, we've seen kind of a bit of a tailing off of their performances, even when they've been playing at home. So the next few weeks of fixtures are, well, so they got Leeds away in midweek, which is not an easy place to go, as Manchester United proved in the game we've just seen. Then it's Brighton, Newcastle, Spurs, Villa, Nottingham Forest, Wolves. Like, the fixtures are still kind of there. So I think you can invest. I think there's probably better options instead that you would go to. But as a roof stoner, I'm probably just going to hold him. I think with the forward line, you just have to kind of, I think there's better options than the Sunderland ones, to be fair.
Yeah, it's hard to invest in them at the moment, isn't it? I'm just missing Mukiele. I was enjoying his points. But of course, he's out injured. Burnley 3, Brentford 4. What an afternoon it was on Saturday in terms of goals, by the way. Let's start with Mikael Damsgaard, shall we? Because I thought I was quite pleased with Dango bringing him in as my transfer. I thought I was quite pleased with his assist, but Damsgaard completely outshone him with a 2 goals and an assist, got 18 points, which is highest of the season. It was actually also, though, his first attacking return since game week 18, which maybe tempers our interest a bit, Jules.
Yeah, a little bit. And also he was a bit in and out of the team because he had some little niggles. The front four of Brentford all returned, which is quite incredible. And I know they scored four goals. Brentford scored 4 goals, so it's likely, but still, we don't have many front fours who return in the same game in the Premier League, and they did, all of them, Shadow, Thiago, Damsgaard, Dango as well. Pretty incredible when you think about it. So it's almost pick who you want, really, depending on your budget, what you need, who you think could get better. Damsgaard looked outstanding, really. I thought Thiago could have had, he took his goal really well, maybe could have had another one. Shadow was maybe a little bit lucky with his. Dongo was a threat all the time. They were in really good form, and they were that close of not even winning the game, considering how good they were as a front four, which tells you maybe that the rest of the team was not very good. And credit to Burnley as well for coming back. We mentioned Coyote on the last podcast, and that maybe it could be a decent option, you know, and massive jinx. The poor guy had, and I actually think that he scored 2 own goals, not just the one that was given to him. I think it's 2, and he goes really lucky to only have -1 and not -15 or something like that.
Sam, anything to add?
Kelleher was missing because his wife was having 2 babies, actually. She had twins. So he'll be back for midweek, and therefore probably that improves defensive security. Although I don't think Vladimir was the problem. As Jules said, it was a nightmare for poor old Coyote, wasn't it? From a Brentford perspective, I think I bracket them in the same sort of conversation as I've just had about Bournemouth. Like, I'm still really not sure about the Bournemouth midfielder of choice, and I still don't feel like I'm sure about the Brentford midfielder of choice. Like, Sharda and Dango, I go backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards because I watch Sharda and I really enjoy watching him play. But then Dango's the one that seems to pick up the majority of points, and Jules is right. Maybe Sharda was a little bit lucky to get his points in this one. As a Thiago captain, and I was fuming with him for not getting another goal because I think he probably should have had another one during the course of that one. And then I'm laughing if he gets a brace. And I think the Brentford fixtures, they remain nice over the next few weeks. Obviously, it's Bournemouth in midweek before Wolves, Leeds, Everton and Fulham. And then Manchester United and West Ham. It toughens up towards the back end of the season. The last 3 weeks for them, it's Manchester City, Crystal Palace and Liverpool. So you could probably afford to sell over the last couple of weeks. But between now and game week 35, if you are a manager that has already used your wild card and therefore doesn't have one to play in game week 32, Brentford look like a really great team to invest in relatively heavily. Although I would steer clear of the defence, I think, and just focus in on getting a different attacker or another attacker rather to go alongside Thiago.
Okay, Liverpool 5, West Ham 2. As we've already said, really good week for Hugo Ekitike and Virgil van Dijk owners. Hugo Ekitike actually scored one of his 2 shots and registered 2 assists. So these guys are going to tell me that he was lucky. 15 points is his 5th and highest double-digit return of the season. And Virgil was the most transferred in and rewarded owners. Almost couldn't believe my luck with that one. And scored, which does mean that he's got an attacking return for the 3rd week in a row with 35 points across those 3 game weeks as well. Are those two, given the fact that Virgil missed out again and is a doubt, are those two the standout kind of not must-haves, Jules, but if you want to invest in Liverpool ahead of the season running, it's got to be those two?
Yeah, I think so. If you have the money, obviously, available, because they're not cheap. One as a defender, one as a forward. For Kitike, he had one return in his last six in the Premier League before. And then, but that's the thing with quality players, talented players, it might not always happen for him in a game, but you know that eventually, if you just keep a bit of faith, he would return. And when he returns, usually he returns well. And that's exactly a Kitike season. When you think about it, the last return was 13 points, but between that, it's only 2 points. And before that, it's only 2 points as well. So it feels like with him, it's just a lot or not many. There's not much in between, certainly lately. For Virgil, I was just so happy knowing that you two had him, that they conceded not just one, but two goals. Because at some point, I could see a huge Liverpool win, not conceding, Virgil scoring. And I was like, oh my word. But at least you didn't get a clean sheet. But yeah, it's obviously a great option, as we said. I went for Szoboszlai because I just didn't have the funds for either Ekitike or Virgil. Maybe I could have worked a little bit harder to find the money available and go there. But I was happy at least with the Szoboszlai assist. It could have been better because I thought he played well. And I guess if you still own Mo Salah, and I don't know why you would, but if you did and you watched that game, five goals and he had nothing and did nothing, I think it would be really worrying and it's the start to let it go, obviously.
Yeah, I have Ekitike and Virgil, as I've said numerous times now, but Szoboszlai is still high on my radar. I might go there as my third Liverpool option. Sam, you've got him.
Yeah, I've got him and I bought him in this week. I bought him in partly because of how bad West Ham have been from set pieces so far this season, but also because Liverpool have improved significantly. So between game week 1 and 22, they scored 3 goals from set pieces, which was the fewest in the league. Between game week 23 and 28, which is the game weeks we've just had, they've scored 9. So they've obviously changed their set piece, their set piece coach. That's the most. They've basically become better than Arsenal at set pieces, and Arsenal are pretty good at them. So, and Dom Szoboszlai takes most of their set pieces. So why would you not want to invest in the Liverpool set piece taker, given that over the last few weeks, they've become really, really good at them? So yeah, having Szoboszlai and Virgil, I said earlier on in the week last week that I thought that they might be the perfect combination to exploit West Ham's problems from set pieces and their own strengths from set pieces. And so when that goal went in, I was absolutely delighted. And unlike Jules, I was really hoping this clean sheet was going to stick in this one. But I think owning 3 Liverpool assets genuinely is the way to go right now, because they also give you a massive hand with getting through game week 31 if you're planning to play through. So I have Virgil and Szoboszlai. If Haaland's not available for midweek, then Haaland to Ekitike seems like the perfect move to make ahead of the midweek. The one thing I would say is that on paper, this game against Wolves that they have looks great. But actually, Wolves at home have improved significantly in recent weeks. So I think there is something to be said about, you know, not... I wouldn't necessarily expect the clean sheet to stick for Liverpool. So I'm a bit worried about that. But then Virgil can easily score from a set piece. But tripling up on Liverpool feels like a really good option right now.
Just a word on West Ham then. Castellanos scored his second goal in 4 game weeks. Jarrod Bowen got an assist and he got DEFCON again. Exactly what you want from your forward line. 10 DEFCON points this season now, but West Ham's fixtures and form looks a bit tough, so I'm sure there's not going to be too much interest in investment there. Newcastle too, unless you're Sam, because she loves Jarrod Bowen. Sam, are you considering Jarrod Bowen?
I'm always considering Jarrod Bowen. I love him. Yeah, he's great.
Oh, I thought you were just going to say no and we'd move on.
No, I really love Jarrod Bowen. And I think the thing is, if he's going to pick up 2 extra points every week, then as a third option, he's really not that bad at all. And if you don't have the expensive assets, like if we're not having Cole Palmer or Saka or maybe Haaland, if he's not fit, then you can afford to have 3 decent forward options.
Okay, Newcastle 2, Everton 3. Beto scored his first goal since game week 24. Sandro Tonali creates a match high 3 chances against Everton. I'm struggling to invest in either of these two teams at the moment. Jules, are you?
Yeah, completely. I mean, I think for Newcastle every week we think, okay, at some point they're going to hit their stride. It's going to be better. Yeah. It should be better. Look at the players that they have. We've said that all season long. And it's just not happening. I thought this game was exactly... I mean, Newcastle are 13th in the table. 13th.
Wow. I'd like Everton to be 13th in the table, to be fair.
Yeah, but you're going to go down to the Championship anyway. But for a real team...
I'd like to be in the Premier
League. Newcastle, yeah. Well, you two will play each other next season in the Championship. Everton are 8th. I don't even know how this Everton team can be 8th in the table, to be honest. But for Newcastle, it's the summary of their season. I don't think what Eddie Howe is doing works much. To be fair, Voltomade as a 10, Gordon as a 9 in a game like this. I don't mind Gordon as a 9 against a team that plays super high defensively. This was never going to be Everton in this game. I just don't get it. And you get what you deserve in a way. And it's a game that I think Newcastle should have never been losing 3-2, really. And they did. And the absence of Bruno Guimarães is so impactful negatively for them that it's going to be a problem until he comes back.
Mm. Anything to add, Sam?
No, I agree with everything you just said.
Wonderful.
Even Leeds you nil, against each other
no,
in the Championship?
I'm not talking about that.
Oh, okay, apart from that.
You're
okay,
wrong on
sorry,
that.
Sorry.
Okay, Sam's being preferred. Yeah, I know we might get promoted through the playoffs. Sam.
Exactly. You'll come up. We'll play each other in the Premier League.
Oh, this is even worse than what I said.
Leeds nil, Manchester City. Imagine that.
No,
Leeds nil,
please
Manchester
not.
City won. The headline is Erling Haaland, and Sam dropped a bit of a bombshell there, didn't she? Where she said that potentially you could sell Haaland for Ekitike. Jules, your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, of course. I thought about it last night. It's risky because I'm not. I just the way I would say it. Guardiola is not going to say yes. He's going to play. No, he's not going to play. He's going to be out for 3 weeks, 2 weeks, 1 week, 7 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever. That's not going to happen. So we won't know. So you might transfer him out, and then obviously he's going to play, start, score, hit you massively. All of that. I just don't know. So I would rather keep and then hope for the best than maybe letting him go, because if he does, unless we know for sure, okay, he's out. He's not going to be there this midweek. Next weekend is the FA Cup, so it's a bit different, because after that he will have 10 days to come back and play in the next game week for us. So that's a bit different. I just think it's risky. I would love to. And if you two convince me in our group chat, yeah, just go for it. He's guaranteed not to play. Then yeah, for sure. I think it's an easy move. But with them, with City and Guardiola keeping secrets kind of thing, as we saw this weekend, because he was never mentioned ever that he was not going to play, then I would be gutted.
And also, I think the thing for me is the money I've kind of got in him as well, Sam.
So I was looking at that last night. So there's two things that put me off of it. First thing is Forest and West Ham are the midweek game, are the next two games before the blank. So ideally, you would have Haaland for Forest and West Ham. They both feel like fixtures he could do very well in. However, if he's out of midweek, then could you ride through the West Ham game without him, particularly if you're going to go for somebody like Ekitike, who has good fixtures, because then there's the blank in 31. And then you could potentially bring him back in after the blank and target in on the double game week if they have one. Of course, they could still not have a blank in 31. We still don't know for definite what's happening there. So then I thought, well, if I was to sell Haaland, how much would I stand to lose? So I've currently got 0.3 in him. It's come down because he's taken some price drops. So now there's 0.3 million in team value in Haaland. The reality is that a lot of managers will end up selling him over game week 31 to get out a full playing team. So he will probably reduce in price that week anyway. So I'm probably going to end up losing 0.1 overall by selling him. If he's out in midweek, then maybe I'll lose, you know, maybe you don't even lose that. Maybe by the time you buy him back, he's back at buy price again. So 4 weeks ago, I would have lost 0.5. Now that felt like too much because you can't, it's hard to get that back because you're then relying on him coming down a lot. Whereas right now, I'd lose 0.3. I think I'd get some of that back over coming weeks. I have other people selling him ahead of the blank game week. So it's not something that's massively putting me off, to be honest. What puts me off is I don't think Pep is going to tell me the truth about Haaland. I don't think Pep's going to come out and say Haaland's not available. And if I sell him for Ekitike and then find him in the starting 11 versus Forest, I'm going to be needing a very, very large sofa to hide behind, because it's not going to be a pleasant experience to watch the highest owned player in the game play at home against Nottingham Forest. Like that feels awful. So I'll be keeping a close eye on what Pep's got to say for himself and hoping that he has a little bit of a change of heart and decides to be really, really honest with us all about what's going to happen with Haaland. Of course, he won't do that, but there's definitely a risk. If you are a manager that wants to take a risk, Haaland to Ekitike and then bring Haaland back in after the blank game week, that feels like a relatively good decision if you're a risk taker.
Okay. What about Nico O'Reilly, Jules? Ankle injury. He was pictured in the gym, wasn't he? I think with the first team yesterday.
I'm not sure if that's a positive news or not, because you can still do, I don't know, work on your abs in the gym, even if your ankle is a little bit dodgy. You know, it's not like if he was doing the bleep test. So I don't know, let's wait and see. I don't think, again, that Pep is going to tell us much about Nico Reilly. He doesn't tell us much about players' fitness anyway, regardless. So it's a bit tricky on this one. If you have him, maybe put him on your bench, or certainly have, as we all do, because we plan and we play this game seriously, your first serve, very important. Always, every game week, your first serve, very important. Just in case, you never know, just in case somebody doesn't play, then your first serve can come in. and then in that case, you're covered, even if Nico doesn't play.
Okay, Semenyo, top point scoring midfielder in fantasy, isn't he? 14th goal of the season, is fourth since joining Manchester City in game week 22. Sam, it's hard to sell him at the moment, isn't he? I know there's a blank, but he's firmly going to be one that stays on my bench during the blank.
He's currently got my captain armband for the midweek round, because it's a really tough week for captaincy this week. Mm. So, and especially if Haaland's not around, then, you know, I really liked Semenyo's performance in this one. I like what he does. It was a bit odd not to see him flipping through the air when he scored his goal and celebrated afterwards. But apparently his mum told him not to do that anymore. So we all listen to our mums. So that's a good thing.
And his friend told him to do something funny, didn't he? So that's why he did the guitar thing.
Yeah, it was very random, because I'm just so used to seeing him backflip. But yeah, I think Semenyo is a fantastic pick. And he's one of those, though, although his ownership is relatively high still, has come down a little bit over recent weeks, because I think managers have been looking to sort out their teams ahead of the blank game week, or the potential blank game week for Man City, but they've also been looking at other options in midfield. Now, I think for me, Semenyo therefore becomes an even more important player in my team, at least for the next couple of weeks, because it's Forest and West Ham, as we mentioned when we were talking about Haaland. It's two great fixtures. I've got money invested in him, and I want to hold him beyond game week 31. Like, I think Semenyo is a player that you have till the end of the season, despite the blank. He'll be one that takes a seat on the bench for the blank game week, so that he comes straight back in game week 32, because I think he's just too important to us in FPL, and he's becoming too important to Manchester City as well.
I will bring him as well. I know there's the blank, I don't care. I bring him in and then I find a way, because it's just every time he returns, it's hurting me. And especially when Haaland doesn't play, he will be even more important to City. We'll have more shots, more balls. He's going to be on him more than when he plays up front with Haaland, for example. So it's a no-brainer to bring him this week for this game against Forest.
If we include the DEFCON from last week, that's returns in 5 of the last 7 starts that he's made for Manchester City. So, like, you can't... That's an incredible run of form for somebody that's just come. I know that he's got Premier League experience and he's played for Bournemouth, but to arrive in a team and play in the way that he has been, that's just excellent.
Okay, Brighton 2, Forest 1. Danny Welbeck back amongst the goals again. Back-to-back games for the first... goals in back-to-back games, sorry, for the first time since game weeks 9 and 10. 10 goals for the season. His best ever Premier League season tally. Any consideration there, Jules, or either of you?
Yeah, you should really. You should, if you're looking for that third forward. I mean, I'm very happy with Joao Pedro, Thiago and Haaland.
You're still happy with Pedro? You're going to keep
him? I think he's outstanding. I mean, yesterday was a tough game, obviously, but even yesterday, I thought he did well. And if he scores that header, by the way, I think he should have. I don't even think he's that great of a save from Raya on that set piece in the second half on the corner. I think it turns out to be a very good game for Joao Pedro, who I think had a very good game. And I think he's an outstanding talent. He really is, even against Saliba and Gabriel. So I would keep him. And I know sometimes, like we said for Ekitike, there will be game week where he blanks, obviously. But I still think he's so good that he's capable of having massive returns. But if you are looking for the third forward and you can't spend that much on, I don't know, Haaland, Ekitike and Joao Pedro, for example, I think Welbeck is great. His first touch on his goal yesterday is outstanding. He's such a good player, such a smart player, that he's going to return again, probably not every game between now and the end of the season, but with him, you're guaranteed, I would say on the next 9 games, you'll be guaranteed 3 or 4 goals, which is a return that you take every time.
Okay. Welbeck though, Sam, any consideration? I feel like we've all not considered him this season and probably maybe missed him at times.
Yeah, probably. And I don't love the fixtures for Brighton. Obviously, it's Arsenal in midweek, Arsenal at home, Sunderland away, Liverpool at home. Then there's a nice game against Burnley. Then they got Spurs. Then it's Chelsea, Newcastle, Wolves, Leeds, Manchester United. Like, there's a real mixed bag of fixtures. But over the next few weeks, like, if you were wildcarding in game week 32, I'd look at Welbeck. But right now, I think for the next 3 weeks, I'd just avoid, because Arsenal and Liverpool in the next three, I just, that's not ideal, is it?
They will score against those two teams, I tell you right now. They are a great attacking team. They are a really good attacking team.
Fulham 2, Spurs 1. Sam, let's not try and go on about this one too much. We've already spoken about Harry Wilson, haven't we? He went off with what looked like a twisted ankle, I think it was, wasn't it? We're going to wait and see. But he scored, got an assist, bonus, got 12 points overall. He's fourth in the whole midfielder standings with 140 points. You're both considering bringing him in. I think we've spoken about him enough. Elliot Anderson's DEFCON return has come to an end. Anything else that you want to say, Sam? On this game.
I actually don't know why I put the Elliot Anderson stat there because it should have been in the Forest game. I just transferred it.
It's still a good information to
give
people.
It's because Anderson, I said that, it's because there's an Anderson for Fulham, isn't there?
Well, and actually when I saw the team sheet and the other Anderson missed out through illness, I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe the Fulham will be a little bit weaker. They weren't really. But yeah, Elliot Anderson's defensive contribution run came to an end. That was sad.
That was my anchorman moment, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh, just reading what's in front
of me. That's my fault because I've transferred it into the wrong one. Harry Wilson, I think, remains a brilliant pick. I think there were a lot of managers that went for Raul Jimenez last week looking for a new forward. I still don't think that that's terrible either. I think Fulham remain an investment. The fixtures look nice. Really good run that they have over the next few weeks. Like, they definitely feel like the cheap team to invest in, like, because none of the Fulham assets cost very much money. So if Harry Wilson's fit and available, then obviously he is the best pick in that Fulham side by a long, long way. But if he's not, then Raul Jimenez instead feels like a really decent option, despite the fact that he missed out this week. I think you could go for Anderson in defence, and that looks like a really nice option as well. From a Spurs perspective, just don't get any. Just don't get any. And then you'll be all right because they won't disappoint you like they do me every week.
Man United 2, Palace 1. I'm not even going to let him get involved in that conversation. Of course, Lacroix was sent off for Crystal Palace, meaning he'll miss Thursday night's huge game, actually, against Spurs. Benjamin Sesko, just stating a fact, first start since game week 22 with his fourth goal in five matches. What do you think, Jules, of Sesko? I feel like you'll have an opinion.
Yeah. It was my differential because you knew that he had that kind of momentum with him. He's getting so much better than what he was when he arrived, which is normal. You always need a bit of time to adapt, especially the mess that we saw under Ruben Amorim for most of it, or certainly when he was playing. Now with Michael Carrick, everybody's better individually. They're better collectively. He had a quiet first half, like pretty much the whole United team. And then the second half, especially after the red card, which is a massive turning point, obviously. It's much better for him. It's a great header that he scores. I think he's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential that is still very raw because he's still very young. But as you saw on that header, if the service is good, he will give you that. And you said 4 in 5, I think it's even 7 in 8, I think. And he's got a kind of form, and against a team like Palace, probably more than Arsenal or City previously under Michael Carrick, it's right that he starts ahead of Mbeumo in that number 9. Mbeumo could go on the right, like we saw, and he was still interesting, and Cunha on the left. This is, you almost had, again, the front four all returning.
Yeah, okay. Anything you want to add on that game, Sam?
No, probably a bit unlucky, Bruno owners that you didn't get. Or Bruno captain is that he didn't get a little bit more. Obviously has that free kick in the first half that is tipped over the bar. So probably he could have and maybe did have more. But yeah, really good performance from Manchester United in the second half. In the first half, Palace doing well until obviously they go down to 10 men. So yeah, I think Palace still remain a non-invest. I can't see any value in investing in them, to be honest, even despite the fact it's Spurs up next. I think longer term, the Palace assets don't look like an invest, but Manchester United certainly do. And just having Bruno Fernandes in my team, I'm starting to question whether there's enough Manchester United investment, given that they don't have any other distractions. It's literal full focus on the league. Maybe now's the time. And if Sesko starts again in midweek, I can see me going for him in the forward line as a bit of a differential between now and the end of the season, but it's the risk of him not starting every week that kind of puts me off doing it.
Arsenal 2, Chelsea 1. Gabriel got an assist, DEFCON, and 3 bonus, 9 points. No player can better his 21 bonus in the current season, or none of the defenders can better his 14 points earned from DEFCON. It goes back, doesn't it, Jules, to what we said about when we're managing the blank game week, we've got to keep him in our team. We'll have money in him as well. He's just got to be benched, hasn't he? He's by far the best Arsenal defender, despite Timber scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. Timber scoring, Saliba scoring, although much as I love him, and as you know, he's my brother, he should have never got that goal because I'm not sure he's on target. But anyway, good for him. Good for Gabriel too. In a tough game, as we said, not much between the two teams. Decided on set pieces. The three goals came that way. It's very positive. If you don't have Gabriel, you have to. If you already have him, you keep him. And like you said, you bench him for 31 when he would blank.
Timber, of course, sold this week to score. But are we still of the mindset, Sam, that it's just Gabriel as the Arsenal defender we need?
Yeah, because they're not going to score. Like, and this was Timber's first goal since game week two. So he's not going to score every week. And in recent weeks, he's been a real disappointment. I know he got the assist in the North London derby, but he then got substituted early. So only picked up 3 points on the back of it. And Arsenal just haven't been keeping clean sheets. Like earlier on in the season, it was like clean sheet after clean sheet after clean sheet. And so you had to have two of them if you're going to make a difference to your team. Whereas now, yeah, okay, this week, Gabriel, Timber and Saliba all in the attacking returns, but nonetheless, that won't be a thing that happens every week. And so for me, I still think that you can sell Timber ahead of the blank game week. You hold Gabriel. Rice is probably a bigger conversation. Obviously, he goes off in this one. We'll have to see whether that's something that's going to keep him out of midweek or not.
He's a sell now, though, at this point, isn't he? Or is he?
I mean, he definitely is ahead of game week 31.
Yeah, soon
for sure. The question I have is he a sell right now ahead of Brighton and Everton? Like, maybe he's not. Maybe I would have held him for the next 2 weeks because I'd rather have sold Morgan Rogers. I mean, maybe I'd just sell both of them, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Rice will be a sell ahead of game week 31 and then probably not a reinvest. But I think whether you do it now or maybe depend on what Arteta has to say later on in the week.
Okay, let's just discuss then game week 29 very quickly. It's 29, isn't it? Yeah, 29. Because I think we've mentioned briefly what we're going to do with transfers and captains, but it's a tricky one, isn't it, Sam, in terms of the midweek, there's the FA Cup at the weekend too, and there's so many injury doubts. How much is all that playing into your mind?
Yeah, massively, because Liverpool travel to Wolves twice in a week. And so you've got to consider what might happen. Like Frimpong's just come back from injury, came on in this one. Will he start in one of those games? Yes, probably. Will it be the league game? Yes, probably. But could it be the FA Cup game instead? Maybe. Like there is rotation that we might see across the Premier League sides because we always do in midweeks, especially when it goes into an FA Cup weekend that follows. And then obviously you also have to consider the fact that if you have rotation in your team and you're carrying a number of injuries, that could cause you a big issue in midweek. Now, obviously sometimes these will come to nothing, the injuries, particularly as they seem to be rolled ankles for most of them. So, the Wilsons and the O'Reillys, maybe they'll be all right for midweek. And if that's the case, then that takes a lot of the strain off of FPL managers, but we probably won't know for sure. Because Arteta, like Haaland, I'm not expecting him to come out and directly tell me that Rice is perfect and is going to play. So it's just something you just have to manage, I think, across your team. And as best as you can, try and prepare for some rotation. And Jules, for goodness sake, set your bench up correctly.
Yeah, I always do usually.
Differential of the week then, Jules, as you said, you went with Šeško, he got 8 points. Sam, you went with Hill and you jinxed him, he got 2 points. So Jules, you go first.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was very good from Šeško. This week, we talked a lot about Liverpool and we highlighted Virgil, obviously, Ekitike, Szoboszlai, all of that, which is all good. There's a player even more informed than them. And it's good to see him back in that kind of form because he was not for most of the season. But it's Alex McAllister who scored again. He's only owned by 1.6% of the managers. And yes, he plays a bit deeper than Szoboszlai. But as we saw, he's got quite a lot of freedom too in the last third of the attacking third, if you want. 6.2 million, 13 points and 9 points in his last two games. He even got DEFCON when he got the 13 points. And because he's back probably to his best or close to his best, I think he's a really good asset for Liverpool going into this Wolves game. But also, obviously, for you in FPL, if you're looking for a midfielder and have that kind of budget and are looking for maybe a third Liverpool player or something like that, I think it would be a good option.
Sam, who's yours?
It's Kieran Gisbury-Hall. So he's going to cost you 5 million. He's 3.7% owned, despite the fact that Everton have actually been really poor at home in recent weeks. They haven't won there since game week 15 when Forest visited. They have been looking really good in their away fixtures. They had 9 attempts on goal of which three were big chances in that last period. Jewsbury Hall has created three of those chances. Two of his chances created were big chances. And over the last four game weeks, he has a goal and two assists, as well as four defensive contribution points and three bonus points. He's had a direct hand in 50% of Everton's big chances in the last 4 weeks. Burnley have scored seven goals in the last 4 weeks, which only four teams have scored more than, but they've had no clean sheets in that time. And they've conceded nine goals, which only Spurs have conceded more than. So I suspect that we could see a decent return out of Jewsbury Hall, despite the fact that at home, it's not been a great place for them to be. But when Burnley visit, I would expect Burnley to be defensively vulnerable, shall we say. So Jewsbury Hall.
Okay, transfers and captains very quickly. Jules, you've already... I don't know if you've said Jules. Yeah, you said Harry Wilson, didn't you? But who are you going to captain?
Yeah, Wilson and Semenyo. Wilson and Semenyo will come in.
For
Rodgers and Enzo. Mm-hmm. It's about time. Both of them, to be fair. And then captain, right now it's Haaland with the vice on Semenyo. But then I'd be gutted if Haaland doesn't start but comes on for the last 10 minutes to be ready for the FA Cup next weekend. And then, so I'll probably swap that and have Semenyo captain and Haaland vice or something like that.
Sam hates captain and picking the same game and vice captain the same game, so she won't do that. What are you going to do?
If Wilson's fit and available, and hopefully Silva will tell me some truth, and then I will do Rodgers to Wilson unless Rice is ruled out, and then I'll do Rice to Wilson instead. I'm going to captain Semenyo regardless, I think. So I don't have the concern about what is happening with Haaland, because I do worry about a one-pointer. So yeah, I think Semenyo will be my captain, and hopefully we'll get six returns in eight for him.
Yeah, that would be nice, wouldn't it? I think I'm probably going to go there as well. A reminder then, this was a very long pod, so thank you for staying with us today. But it is a Tuesday deadline, 90 minutes for the three early kickoffs between Everton and Burnley, Leeds and Sunderland and Wolves and Liverpool. We'll be back on Thursday to review what we've seen in Game Week 29 so far. Spurs and Palace, of course, won't have played, which is probably good for Sam. See you on Thursday, guys.